This week's episode of Greetings from Wonderland is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at www.audibletrial.com/storybrooke. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Again, that link is audibletrial.com/storybrooke.
If there was a way to bring back Anastasia when evil divides them.
If we give that stuff back to Jafar, he'll change the laws of magic.
We can't give Jafar that kind of power.
Friends become enemies. And the Death Toll.
Tell me where my staff is.
Could rise.
I got this.
From Wonderland. I'm Anne Marie.
And I'm Bill Meeks.
And this is the last episode of our podcast, and I don't usually do this part, so now we're unlost and I'm confused. Hi, Bill.
Hi. How's it going?
It's interesting.
Yeah, it's weird. The polarity is reversed somehow. Yeah, it's a little awkward.
It'll be okay. But yeah, so this is a podcast about ABC's Once Upon a Time in Wonderland, and we really recorded this last night, and then the computer ate it, so we're trying
it
again.
It was a great episode
with our awesome guest, Dawn O'War. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Thank you for being able to record with us two nights in a row.
Yeah, thanks for joining us again, Dawn.
I'm starting to really be happy to hang out with you guys. I feel like one of the family now.
So are you saying at the beginning of the last episode you weren't happy at all to be hanging out with us, but over time you
grew. I'm nervous.
You guys had never actually talked
to me in real life before. So.
This is true. Yeah, well, we definitely want to thank you very much for coming out again for the second night in a row to discuss the same darn episode.
The same stinking episode. Yes. So. Wait, what? What is this?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Something.
He's adding things into the doc that I'm unaware of. I'm sorry.
Well, no, we talked about this. Something we wanted to bring up right here at the top. In the last episode, we talked about this midway through. But, Once Upon a Time in Wonderland is about over. This is the next to last episode, the penultimate episode. And yes. We're going to do a kind of series recap discussion the week after the finale. We were thinking about doing a live hangout.
You spelled handouts. So I was thinking it's class time and we're getting worksheets, not a Google Hangout.
Like a Google Plus Hangout. But we were trying to figure out when would work best for everybody. So basically what we'd like you to do, if you'd like to take part in this, and we'd like to figure out a way we can do it to where we can pull people in, we can take questions, get comments, all that sort of stuff. But we need an audience there to do it, right? So we
want to
know when works best for you. So if you're at all interested in this, just bugging us in the comments or showing up on screen, whatever, just let us know when's good for you. We were thinking maybe, I don't know, the Wednesday or Thursday after, like at 8 or 9 o'clock.
Basically, it's going to have to be no earlier than 8 p.m. Eastern, no matter what, thanks to small children.
Yeah, that's the earliest we can get up and going.
Yes.
But we thought 9 o'clock might be nice for people on the West Coast too. That way it kind of splits the difference to where it's not too late for East Coasters, not too early for Westerners.
Right. So, okay. So Bill.
Yes.
How about you get us started with the rhyme here?
I don't know. You should have the guy who writes these do a better one because this one's kind of bad.
But I'll try. It was good yesterday.
Alice and Will have their first meetup. The Red Queen is shown in brief with her feet up. Modern Will's on a mission to bring her back from the grave, a terrible task for a lovable knave. He defects and falters in the name of true love until Alice falls off the cliffs high above. They team up with Jabber to bring Jafar down. Wildcard Amara makes him look like a clown. Everybody in Wonderland is filled with real grief in this week's episode, To Catch a Thief. That felt very natural. Almost like it was my internal monologue or something.
Almost like it was when you give me line reads over doing. So, well, I'm not used to doing this, so let's just get into our points.
Okay.
This is weird.
Yeah, and we were switching points too, right? You were gonna take...
Oh, are we gonna switch points? You seemed that earlier. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Curveball after curveball. Okay.
Well, we had to keep it fresh, right?
Yeah. We had to keep it fresh, and now it's making me focus.
I was trying to remember what I'd said.
I know. It's just going to be, this is a hodgepodge. And for everybody who's listening who just watched Once Upon a Time, my thoughts are with you. Okay. The Knave and the Alice's origin story. Thank goodness we finally got this. But did they have to take, 11 episodes to get to it?
Yeah.
Anybody?
It seemed like they were teasing it from the beginning, but it finally we get to see it.
Right. And we mentioned it in our podcast last week, going, why? Where is the Alice and the Knave origin story? And boom, there it was.
Yeah, I think we made the joke last night that, they heard our feedback last week.
Of course.
And they managed to get into the episode this week. A lot of repeated jokes that we're not going to laugh at, but hopefully people
will find us funny. Alice busing in reminded me of a Zelda puzzle. Nope, I didn't get it last night, so you still have to explain it.
Oh, no, this happens in several Zelda games, but Ocarina of Time is the one that pops into my mind. There's usually a guard puzzle where you're trying to break into Hyrule Castle, where you kind of have to wait for them to move around. And the part where she was breaking into the storage facility.
The heart storage facility. Yes.
very much reminded me of one of those Zelda puzzles, so I thought it was kind of neat. Kind of neat. And I'll say, I definitely think the Knave being controlled by somebody else is probably my favorite Knave.
Really? Because I really kind of like him with his heart and his all of his emotions all over the place.
And his passion and his anger.
Yes. Like he has passion instead of, let's go get a cold beer, because that's really what the Knave is without his heart. He's like, beer for all.
Chugging contests, etc. Dawn, what did you think of the origin story or the Alice Knave?
I think that he's hilarious when other people are controlling him. But they make him. I mean, the chicken thing that they made him do, that was awesome.
I did like the chicken thing. Yes.
It adds a little bit of humor to it as well. But I just think he's funnier when he was the genie and he was like, oh no, I've got to grant you three wishes. It's really funny.
Oh yeah, with a lizard and everything.
Oh yeah, that was good. Yeah. Because it's like he seemed so uncomfortable with the whole mistress mine, thy will is thine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and right. The other thing is, without his heart, he's kind of a doofus. And so then you have this doofus personality juxtaposed with the awful things he's being asked to do, like trying to kill Alice. So he's like, yeah, sorry, you're cool, but I gotta kill you. I'm still gonna kill you.
Yeah.
He does a really good job, the actor, really, of playing that, you can totally understand that he's not in control of what his body is doing.
You can see it in him.
There's a very clear separation of characters, kind of over on Once Proper we get with Rumple or someone like that, where there's several different iterations of the character.
Right.
Which is neat. And I'm going to bite my tongue and not talk about Once Proper.
God, just keep going. Just
we should have watched
it. Because I haven't seen it yet.
I know. Oh.
Dawn hasn't seen it, unfortunately. Anne-Marie, you should probably do some sort of – I know you're not used to hosting the show.
Not at all.
Being the lead. But you should probably come up with some sort of really cool, neat transition. And it'll give me freedom to talk about my next point.
Well – Freedom. I don't know. I'm really bad at this. So go ahead and just take the point since you've talked about freedom.
You know what we found out in this episode? The Jabberwocky. Jabber
actually. What about Jabber?
She wants her freedom.
She wants her freedom.
Which is weird. It's like that transition.
I'm sorry, Dawn. I'm sorry.
<It's> fine.
No, this is a completely fresh episode. I would venture to say this is unlike any episode we have done. It's pretty good. No, but Jabberwocky's going rogue.
Jabberwocky's going rogue.
Or Rouge, which
makes her awesome.
Definitely, definitely.
I agree.
I like her before.
Yeah, she was just kind of a Well, actually, you were talking a bit last night about what you disliked about her, if you want to go into that a little more, Dawn.
Yeah, like, I was saying that she was, I found her, like, unnecessarily sexual. I didn't really understand what it was about, like, because she's supposed to be, like, feeding on fear, and I didn't really understand what the sex thing had to do with it. And,
yeah, and she had, like, the whole cat thing going.
Yeah, like, who was she? What was she, you know, she was under Jafar's control, but she, I didn't really understand, like, what her motivation was for anything. Like, why was she making people scared to death? Did she just like to do it? Or, you know, and she like had a agenda this week, and I found her interesting character for the first time.
Yeah, and we kind of get to see the motivation a little bit there too, right? Because you know we find out that the whole reason she's been kind of tooling around with Jafar and, you know, helping him in his plan is just so she can get her freedom, so she can get out from under that. And then we also find out through her discussion with Alice and Cyrus and all of them that you know, once he's gone, fear's gone, so she's gone. So, you know, if Jabberwocky is going to be a problem to any of our heroes, if we can figure out some way to get rid of Jafar, not going to be a problem. But Anne-Marie, and I know this is my point tonight.
Go ahead.
What's your point last night? No, but you wanted to, you were talking a little bit last night about maybe
she's the crossover.
The crossover character.
Right, because the way she said, if you remove Jafar, there's no fear, so she has to leave because she feeds on the fear. Well, right now there's quite a bit of fear in Once Proper. All over the place.
Yeah, it's a big thematic element.
It's a big bowl of fear with, you know, flying monkeys sprinkled on top. So maybe that leaves her to be a crossover character.
Yeah, to exploit that fear or something.
Right.
Like that.
But then it almost makes you wonder which side would she be on? Would she just continue to be rogue?
I feel like she would have to still be her own thing. Like, I can't imagine her, like, hanging with Snow White.
Yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
It's come across very clear with the character that she's on her own side. She doesn't care about anybody else's past the point that it helps her get what she wants.
Right. Okay. Okay. We sort of talked about Dawn's point, unless she has anything she'd like to add to that.
I think that happened in the Lost episode.
It did. So, wait, we kind of talked about this a little bit, too, yeah, but not completely.
You mentioned it.
We mentioned...
The sub-point is more of the main point for whoever wrote this point.
Whoever wrote the point. So, the Nave and Alice situation's very different, because they each were just basically looking for their lost love and wanted to go to any lengths to accomplish that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Alice just seemed so like, no, mine is more important than yours.
To bring a little more context to it.
Yes,
too.
Please.
I know. And that right before she falls off the cliff, they're having that conversation. And basically he throws the question to her, I believe. And again, you know, with this episode was much fresher in my head yesterday when we recorded it the first time. But basically saying, how is me wanting to help Jafar change the rules of magic to bring the Red Queen back any different from you, you know, going across all realms, having big fights, overthrowing dictators or something? That didn't actually happen on screen, but I assume it did.
Yes, there was dictators. Absolutely.
But, you know, how is that any different than, you know, what you were trying to do, basically? And I think while the results are different, and particularly with Will, they're much more dire and kind of far reaching. I think, you know, at the heart of it. But I think at the heart of it, they're pretty similar situations. It's just, if anything, I think if the situations were reversed, Alice would have thought it through more than Will did before he acted on it and knocked out the person he's been trying to help his best friend find for half a season or so.
Right.
Yeah, but Alice would have done it anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I guess if it was between having Cyrus and not having Cyrus, yeah, she probably
would have went for it totally. Yeah.
Because I guess, you know, really Cyrus, he was the one that kind of told her that what Jafar was doing was wrong, right? Like, or if he hadn't had Cyrus, she might not have occurred to her that changing the rules of magic was a bad thing.
Right. She'd have had no context.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
She wouldn't have had that background to know that it was wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, we got another peek into a character here that everybody loves, a fan favorite, which is the soup Nazi Jafar.
No, Sophia.
And, you know, I was wondering, me, not Anne-Marie. I was wondering why Alice told him to stay in the dungeon after she let him out. And then why was he kind of left on the steps out there at the end when it seemed like he was going to be kind of a linchpin or a bargaining chip they could use against, you know, Jafar, that guy, you know, that guy, which, by the way, he was good this week again. I liked him again this week.
He was good. He wasn't too terribly creepy.
I don't think
in a bad way.
I don't think there was even one of those really corny Jafar shots at all. Either.
Sash twirly moments.
I love how we keep running into these awkward silences because Anne-Marie's not used to having to.
I can't do the vamp thing. I'm passing the torch back to you, please.
You're passing the torch back.
Yeah, I don't even know because you guys switch parts and I don't know.
Everybody is confused.
This is where we are, but
I'm like, am I still me if you guys are each other?
I don't know anymore, man.
Who am I?
Get me out of here, man.
Okay, I'm gonna let
okay,
Bill
I'm taking
again.
The reins or, back. Like, I'm taking the reins back. Amber
okay,
Lee,
good. What? If anybody is still listening, please stick with us.
Jafar's got daddy issues. What you think? Amber Lee, go.
They should have used that and exploited it. He was exploiting everybody else's family. Why didn't they exploit his family?
I think because they stopped in the middle. Like, that wasn't the end. That was, like, a middle. That was, like, we have to see the rest to find out. Like, he's in the stairwell because they're going to pull him out in the next episode.
They have to, but he already got all crazy eyes on us.
There had to be,
like, a reason why dude couldn't have been in the room at that when he got the crazy eyes that we're going to find out next week.
There has to be something. Because Alice was just like, Cyrus is in trouble. Stay here. Yeah, because he couldn't do anything.
You know,
because there's a plot point, like a reason why he couldn't be in the room. That's what I think.
Okay.
You know what just occurred to me, though, as using him as a bargaining chip? If they're already changing the rules of magic, then he's not a bargaining chip anymore, because the reason Jafar wants him to stay alive is so he can make him love him again. That's why he's changing the rules of magic to begin with. So if they bring him in and they're like, well, you know what? If you don't change them back right now, we're going to kill him. That's another rule of magic he'd be changing. So he's kind of not a bargaining chip anymore. They could kill him. They could decapitate him. Doesn't matter. Jafar can bring him back and make him love him again.
Interesting.
Very interesting. But
magic always comes with a price.
It does.
Crazy price.
It comes with a price. Okay, Dawn, you had a point here you wanted to bring up about. You really liked Alice this episode, right?
Oh, yeah. Alice was awesome. She was like fighting with two swords, and she was like counting while she was talking to people.
I love the counting.
And a little thumb tap.
And, like, my favorite Alice is the Alice with the bow in her hair, so I was really happy to see him go back to that.
Oh, sweet little Alice.
Yeah.
I've never used one of these before. I was like, that was hilarious.
We got to see Alice, like, in all spectrums of Alice-ness.
Mm. Maybe not quite as, what's the word I'm looking for? How the original stories were, and I'm thinking of the word, not fantastical, but something close to that. I don't know, kind of just like, she wasn't quite as, I can't think of the word, like aloof kind of mood. I'll think of it. I'm sorry. This episode's off the rails, folks.
This is,
it's completely
ridiculous.
She was, I mean, I felt like in the books, that she was selfish.
That's the word.
Like, so
whimsical.
She wasn't quite as whimsical as she has been. That's the word.
I really felt like they pulled like all the personality that I expected out of her in this episode. And then some.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
She was clever. She was solving puzzles. She was I liked her. Like, that's the Alice I wanted to see, like, from the beginning when I decided I wanted to watch this show.
Right. I liked her reasoning and trying to figure out the heart puzzle. Like, oh, as soon as they're going, because she was like, K. She's like, no, that's the king. And then, like, sort of counting through. And I want to know who's, like, the three of spades and stuff like that. Like, how did the queen sort of divide that? I'm still interested.
Or, like, what duties do they have? Like, I'm guessing all of the spades would probably be, like, gardeners, maybe.
She has that many gardeners that she has to control?
I guess. Well, I mean, you know, castles, they have big courtyards and stuff. And actually, didn't Alice initially meet her trying to steal a plant of some sort?
The weeping willow.
Yes, the weeping willow.
Why was she stealing a weeping willow?
I don't know. She was a kid. She liked it. Because I'm guessing that's what... Was it really said if it that was the first time she came or she met Cora was when she was a kid or was it when she came back later pre-asylum?
I assume that, like, you know, that story went with the book, like, that we all know.
Yeah.
Like, that was the story in the book.
I would assume or at least as much of the story as remains accurate in this retelling. Speaking of stories, we heard a story several episodes back about Jafar's ex-girlfriend Amara. Then last week, I believe, we heard that she was actually Cyrus's and all of the other genies' moms, and she shows back up this week.
Magically.
She's been there in the background in Jafar's hand while he's posing on the magic carpet as the staff. But after the negotiation with the Jabberwocky, her eyes glow and then she just ends up walking in. But it kind of left me with a couple of questions. Did she free herself from the staff? And if she did, why did she wait until then to do it? I mean, maybe she was just biding her time, but it seems like she could have found someone less. I'm trying to think of a non-curse word to use here. A storky than Jafar to help her out. But it just kind of it feels almost like they skipped a scene or something. Dawn, what do you think?
Oh, yeah, like totally. Like she just appeared. There she was. Like, where'd she come from? And I don't know.
She walked in real casual. Weird.
Yeah.
Because wasn't really the whole thing like she had to be returned to the water or like.
Yes.
Yeah, that was the thing. In order to free them all from the genie's curse and everything, they were supposed to return her to the water. Like, it seems like that would be if they did that. And then the ring girl from the well was like, OK, well, she can go now. Then now that I have the water back. Like it seems
no, because her destiny was to die. She must die.
And it also seems like that would be a very important scene for them to cut out for time. You know, it seems like we could have lost. I don't know.
Right. They cut out like the whole like where, you know, Alice fell off the cliff and then there was a commercial and then she was like saved.
All of a sudden
skip that part because like, you don't need to know. You just need to know that Will saved her.
Yeah, there was lots of implying in this episode.
Yeah,
lots they of ran implying. Out of time, I think.
Right. But I'm not completely convinced it was the real Amara because Jabber just sort of disappeared.
Yeah, she kind of ducked out there in the third act, like after
she ducked out for the good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She could have been really useful in there.
And with how much they were saying that she was going to be part of the plan and everything and how she had a lot to lose for this, too. You'd think when things started going south, you know, when a shard of glass flies through Cyrus's chest.
Right.
That she would jump in there. But maybe she was in disguise.
But do we really know the extent of Jabber's powers that she can do stuff like that? Like we know she can read people's fears and well, sort of kill them from fear. But can she really change shape and suddenly have?
Sorry,
no, go ahead.
Can she make snakes? That's what I was.
Yeah. Exactly. Like,
would she even know to make snakes?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Amara has a patent on the whole snake thing, right?
Pretty much, and Jafar was really bored by it.
Mm-hmm. Actually, that's another really good point. Because if she was pretending to be Amara and Amara hadn't been able to communicate with them, then Cyrus wouldn't have known about his mom's whole snake magic thing, would he have? I don't think, because that happened after he became a genie.
Right.
So she wouldn't even have even had a source of information on that. You know.
So I guess it kind of had to be the real Amara.
I guess, but it still seems...
But then where's the Jabber?
Yeah, and why didn't she change earlier?
I didn't even notice her missing. Like, I just didn't even notice. Like...
I don't think I really did until we were done watching the episode. And I was like, wait, Jabber, where are you?
I had to go back and rewatch that part.
Yeah. Somebody was a little sleepy, so I had to rewatch it a few times too.
There were a couple points in the episode, this included, where I was dozing off a little bit. My first watch through, and I think it might have been partially, well, I was tired, obviously, but it might have also partially been, it just felt like there was like information missed, and I was trying to piece it together, and I was like, you know what, I can't think, I'm just gonna go to sleep right now.
Right. Like, I looked over and I smacked him. I was like, did you see that? And he's like, what? I'm like, we're just going to rewind. I'm not even going to tell you. And there was Amara. He's like, oh, I'm like, yeah, obviously you were asleep. But what was I going to say? The hard part of telling whether or not it was real Amara, even with the whole snake thing that makes us think it is she seemed in on the plan.
Yeah.
Like completely in on the plan, because she was given like little sideways looks to Cyrus.
Hey, did you get that done yet kind of thing when he was
right,
trying to mess
like,
with...
so let me nod this way and point you that way. And but would Jabber have the reaction that the Amara character had when Cyrus got hit with the glass? Probably
yeah,
not.
This is true. Uh-huh. This is very true.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so there's that.
I think as we did in the last episode, we also ended up discussing Dawn's last point here too.
Yeah, oh, did we? Oh.
Through the course of it. So actually, we did this in the last episode.
Okay.
Too. Amory, do you have yours available?
I have mine.
And we've done this before when we ran a little short on an episode. We'll do it again now. Just randomly shouting out stuff from our pages of notes.
Dawn, do you have any notes handy?
Yes.
Oh, fabulous.
Excellent.
Start us off.
All right, yeah, my first one, why didn't we get to see Will steal tarts?
Yes.
Very true. I'm looking for a good one that I didn't
get. Jabber wants freedom. Nobody born a monster.
Wonderland grew up. I don't know what it means.
You didn't know what it meant yesterday either.
No, I didn't.
Hold on.
What if she picked the wrong heart?
Oh! Yeah.
Yes, because actually I was thinking that too, because when it wasn't working for her, when she got back to Will, I was like, wait, well, maybe she grabbed the wrong heart, but then it all worked out.
But she could, like, what if she put somebody else's heart in him? Then what happens? Like, can you even do that?
I don't know. It seems like I know the body rejects that when it happens, like, in a medical procedure, unless you get, like, the right medication or whatever. So.
Jafar summons other genies just to look at them.
Just a little.
Let's see, and this is probably my favorite one on my sheet. It says Will's totally gonna steal that staff, and then like three lines down, Will stole it.
let's see, Penelope, Will's sister. Really, that's all we got for that.
Right, I had that one too.
Yeah, it's like it's just a mention, small story. First rule of thievery: don't work alone.
I thought it was kind of weird that Jabber knew that Amara was in the staff, although I guess with that scene with her and Jafar, it kind of makes sense, although it still kind of took me by surprise because I'm dumb.
You think your love is the only one worth fighting for.
Why does Jafar's fear smell like pine needles?
Oh, yeah, pine needles. Why does it smell like Christmas? Why does he smell like Christmas?
It's Christmas for Jafar.
It's terrifying.
Are you willing to do what's necessary to get what you want?
I really like that we circled back to the beginning of the series, or for at least the first meeting between Cyrus and Alice in that one scene. That was good.
That was a really long note.
Yeah, it was paraphrased.
Okay.
I wanted to make sure it was clear.
Oh.
Although I guess these are funnier if they don't make sense, right?
They really are. Anything is possible. Let Jafar win.
Nobody's born a monster. We're made.
Already covered that.
We did?
Yeah.
Darn it.
It was like my first one. Mercy,
I'm dumb.
Waiting for you to learn anything. Hope.
Missed a scene?
I'll let you punch me. I don't want to carry you around for the next 5 hours.
We'll punch Osiris and steal staff.
And nobody gets bruised.
Yes! No bruising!
Okay, so Anne-Marie,
yes.
Are you going to take the reins for the end here, or do I have to?
No. It's all you, man.
Okay, well...
Oh, but I'll take my story.
Your what?
My story? You have your story. I have my story. Oh, that. Yes, no, that's you.
Okay. Story. I'm wondering what the story is.
I don't know what the story could be.
we're off the rails, folks. Buckle down. You're going to fly out of the cart if you're not careful. Now we need to figure out what we all thought of this episode. And to do that, usually I come up with an arbitrary scale. Unfortunately, the one I came up with last night, which was really good, which was 114 pine needles in the snow, right?
Yes.
Was really good. But unfortunately, I used it, so I can't use it again. So I'm going to say out of 60 minutes of lost episode, Anne-Marie, how many minutes of lost episode do you give it? As your heart breaks.
Oh, my heart breaks. I'm going to give it 40 minutes of lost episode.
Why?
It was a good episode, but nowhere near as good as the last two. You know, just sort of like this podcast. It's a good episode, but nowhere near as good as last night. but
this is very true.
I was being honest.
Yeah, I would give last night's episode of Greetings from Wonderland a 60 out of 60 minutes of the last episode of Greetings from Wonderland. This tonight, probably like a 45.
Yeah. And I feel like we're flying, like absolutely.
We're at 34 now. Yeah.
Yeah. We're all talking really fast. But no, I give it 40 lost minutes of podcasting episode goodness. Because there's missing something. It's missing at least 1 to 3 scenes.
Yeah.
At least. There could be more. There could be more.
It just felt we're either missing stuff that they like shot and didn't put in, or we're missing information we're going to get in the first 5 minutes next week,
right?
More or less. Okay, Dawn, out of 60.
Yeah, that's what I think. I think we're going to get it in the next 5 minutes. That I think it was unfinished. I feel like
we've invaded her brain. She's talking like us. I'm sorry.
Anyway, I'm going to give it like 38 and a half minutes. Unfinished or lost podcast. What was it?
Lost podcast minutes.
Because I think it was unfinished. And I feel like that we're going to need the rest of the story to even know how to rate it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's all going to depend on the context of the series finale. Series finale. Which is
series. That's right, everyone. Series.
The entire series, which we'll be talking about a bit more detail in a moment. I guess I'm supposed to give my review too.
I would like your review. Yes.
Okay. I'm going to give out of 60 lost podcast minutes, which is totally different from anything I've said up to this point. I'm going to give it 35 because I, like everyone else said, I felt there was a little bit missing. The whole Amara thing didn't make a lot of sense to me. They could salvage themselves and I'll retroactively readjust it. But now on to the news.
News.
There we go. And first up, ratings Once Upon a Time in Wonderland and Grey's Anatomy were each adjusted up a tenth among adults 18 to 49 in the preliminary ratings for Thursday. And I had to do this last night, too. They got a 1.0 share, which isn't bad. Beat Vampire Diaries again, which is supposed to be the big hit show all the kids are talking about, right?
I have no idea. I don't sparkly vampires.
No. Well, I speak sparkly vampires, but they have to be written by Anne Rice.
Oh.
They sparkle? Yeah.
I believe that's how they first when they first introduced Lestat in the first book or whatever, they said, you know, his skin shimmered in the moonlight or something. It wasn't like glittery vampires. It was just kind of almost translucent. Yeah, kind of like those fish you see that kind of glow under the like thousands of the ocean, kind of like that,
like UV skin.
Yeah, something like that. I guess since they couldn't absorb sunlight, I don't know.
What are we talking about?
Let's get Anne Rice on the line right now.
Hi, Anne Rice. How are you?
Ask her how many pine needles.
Okay, Anne Marie, you want to take our next story here?
Wonderland is canceled. Oh my god!
OMG!
Oh my god!
Or not, because
it's canceled.
No, it was always a one season show.
Yeah, there was, if it had done bombastic,
really, really good, I'm sure it would have been renewed.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it was always intended to be one season. And, you know, as they say in the promo this week and everything, this will be the series finale. And it might have done better if, you know,
it was done properly.
Yeah, if the ABC executive Paul Lee, whose fault it was that didn't air on the break of Once Proper, if he'd gotten his act together.
I told you to stop blaming him.
No, I blame him constantly. I actually have a little hate shrine set up in my closet.
No hate Paul shrine.
Lee, ABC executive Paul Lee.
Stop now, spinning the haterade.
Obviously, if Paul Lee, you know, sends a limo over, flies me out to L.A. to sit down and discuss it like men, then, you know, maybe I'll.
Then you'll be like shaking in the back like a little baby.
No, I've actually dealt with TV executive. Thank you very much. I've used to work for one.
That's true. You did used to work for one.
I used to work on the top floor, Anne-Marie. Never forget that.
Yeah.
That was kind of threatening, right?
That was a little threatening. So, I'm kind of not liking it.
You can find links to all of these stories at greetingsfromstorybrooke.com. And we also have a link to the promo up there. And yeah, we have a lot of flashback stuff. Alice and Cyrus kissing, Jafar and the Red Queen kind of standing creepy close. But then we get Jafar with like an army behind him, and Amara's there, and they're sword fighting. And then they just go series finale next
dun,
week.
Dun, dun.
It's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting.
It is going to be interesting. I'm excited.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm more excited about seeing the last episode and seeing how it all goes down in the end, or going back and kind of looking over our notes and everything for the series recap and seeing if maybe the first half of this season is better now that we have the context of the latter half.
Maybe. I hope.
Me too. And also,
I feel like they didn't know what story they were telling until it was too late.
Yeah, it was like they were just like scrambling to like find their feet with the loss of the Mad Hatter, I think. And
right, that is a little sad that they wrote Wonderland for somebody and then he got a new job.
Yeah, I almost remember hearing that he was actually pretty prominent in the pilot episode, but then when it got picked up for series and he wasn't available because of Captain America, they actually had to go back and reshoot like 2/3 of it or something.
Which would be why the pilot was horrible.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like very...
And very CGI.
Yeah.
Super duper CGI. All right, well, we'll go ahead and move into listener feedback here. And as always, when you get done watching the series finale next week, run to your computer as fast as you can. You can't catch me. I'm the feedback man. I'm the feedback man. Greetings from storybrooke@gmail.com.
I should have cut you off with that last cup of coffee because
you're probably
a little ridiculous.
Twitter is @GFStorybrooke. Facebook, which is where we got Dawn to guest on this episode. And
Yay!
All sorts of conversation going on.
She's probably regretting it now.
Yeah. I would be. Facebook.com/greetingsfromstorybrooke and voicemails, which we love. You can leave at 424-274-2352. Again, that's 424-274-2352. And first up, as often happens, we have a voicemail from Bobby from Bradenton. So why don't you go ahead and take it away, Bobby?
Greetings, Bill and Ann. Bobby from Bradenton here. Shaming you, Bill, for forgetting the name of the actress who plays the Queen. How can you forget a name like Emma? I'm glad to finally see how Alice and Will met and became so close. While love has always been what's motivated everyone from Alice to Jafar, I feel it's Alice's friendship with Will that has really been the driving force of this show. Will was totally right to expect Alice and Cyrus to help him get Anastasia back, and I'm glad to see that they finally came around. Having Jabber team up with Will, Cyrus, and Alice to go all Ocean's 12 on Jafar's palace, I feel was a nice touch. As the show comes to an end, every episode keeps getting better and better. But, unfortunately, with one episode left, I feel there are still quite a few loose threads that will be left dangling. All in all, I still thought it was a great episode, and out of 23 precariously hovering mirror shards, I'll give it 19.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you, Bobby! It was really cool, the whole kind of heist scene, you know, breaking into Jafar's castle and everything. And, you know, as we mentioned earlier in the episode, too, yeah, a lot of loose threads.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how they really do wrap all this up. They have 44 minutes to wrap the entire series up.
Yeah, and I mean, as far as we know, I mean, we've never got an actual creator confirmation or anything on a crossover character. This might be the last we see of any of these characters ever.
There's no way. There has to be a crossover. Otherwise, this was a waste.
Well, I'm trying to build suspense here, Anne-Marie.
There will be no suspense!
No suspense!
No soup for you!
Actually,
no soup for you!
He could be the crossover character.
That would be good. Awesome.
And he could run a soup shop in store.
He could work at Granny's.
But actually, Bobby, he amended, because he sent this into us as an MP3, amended a question. And I would read through his entire question the way he worded it, but I don't feel like it. So he was just wondering.
Wow, honesty.
Well, you know what? I felt like it last night, and then the recording dumped and died on me.
It was all your fault because you read the question.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But basically, he was wondering what we thought would be nice for a if they decide to do another Once spinoff next year, what we would like to see. And Dawn, I know you had an interesting answer last
week. Oh, no, that means I have to remember what it was.
Yeah.
I don't worry. I still don't have an answer. With 24 hours to like.
What's my interesting answer?
What was it? It was another Disney property. Wasn't it?
I mean, I said it would be cool if they went to Star Wars.
You did say
Star Wars. Oh, right. I said that because I listened to you guys talk and talk about all these different possibilities. And then I was like, you forgot Lost. They should go to Lost.
Oh, yeah. Part of
the Dharma initiative.
We have to go back.
I would like to see, you know, that while they're jumping through different realms and lands, that they should end up on the island at some point.
Oh yeah, that would definitely be cool. And Lost has a bunch of it has a bunch of time travel, alternate universe-y, timelines kind of stuff. So
it's the same story.
The same story with different characters.
Pretty much.
But one option that me and Anne-Marie had discussed that I think we all agreed last night would probably be the best option would be to do a Neverland prequel where we get to see the adventures of Hook and Peter and, you know, Bay and Tink and everybody in Neverland, you know, basically whatever this universe's version of the original story is, you know, kind of a flashback prequel, a series which, you know, after tonight's episode of Once All... But there be a whole different,
I haven't seen it.
Whole another different.
I know.
Well, there's no real spoiler there.
my tears.
They go back to Neverland. No, I'm kidding.
But yeah, I'd love to see that because I really felt like I would when they went to Neverland. That's kind of the story I was hoping to see, and we got so little of it.
Yeah, we just got basically Bay out on the boat for like half an episode or something.
Yeah, and there's so much there I want to know about.
Mm-hmm, like how Tink got there. Like, I don't know. We never got Tiger Lily or anything, I don't think, did we?
No, we didn't. Mention of her, I think, but... Mm-hmm.
But no, none of that whole... Because that's definitely one... There's like several like... aspects or kind of classes in Peter Pan's world, and the whole Indian tribe just didn't get any play. Would have been
none. I just think it would be really cool, like if we do it, yes, because we're performing this.
We're seeing the new Once Upon a Time in Neverland.
I'm available if you're listening. I'm available for the show. If they end it. As like their season finale or series finale would be when Greg and Tamara land in Neverland with Henry. I want that to be like the last scene of the Neverland spinoff.
Mm. Plus, then we would get Peter Pan back too, and I just loved Robbie Kay.
Oh yeah, my God, he was awesome. Amazing. Yeah.
Although I guess it's a pretty common thing in Onestim to not like him.
Really? Because yeah, he's like an amazing actor.
It's weird. Like I stumbled on a whole segment of fandom that just like hated him. But you know what? That's the other show. We're talking Wonderland. I also focus. Hope is talking Wonderland. Anne-Marie, you want to read her letter? Off the rails, Hope. Folks. Yes. I hope you're still hanging on. It's dangerous.
Is anybody with us? tweet us if you are. No, Okay, Hope, just some quick points that didn't warrant a full email. The episode was okay. I thought the last two were better, but this was okay. It was great seeing Will as the Knave of Hearts. We finally got the story of how Alice helped him get his heart back. I was hoping it would be a bit more epic, but once again, it was just okay. If anything, I learned that the guards of Wonderland are predictable idiots. The only big point I wondered about was Amara. How did she get out of the staff? She popped out of nowhere. Plus, she has magic. She's always had magic. Anyway, why didn't she heal Cyrus opposed to helping Jafar? Though a buddy of mine pointed out something on Twitter. Healing magic might be more difficult type of magic to perform. So far, we've only seen Rumple heal people. Regina and Cora never did. But I swear that Amara was a healer, if I remember correctly from an earlier episode.
Anne-Marie.
What?
Bite your tongue. Go ahead.
Yeah. I was. That's why I was reading so fast.
Okay.
I'm sad Wonderland is ending.
Something should happen that I don't know about.
You know when you don't.
You're going to get off this podcast and go watch it. You have to.
Yeah, you definitely have to tweet us some.
I missed Wonderland last week. I don't know if I've got it.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sad Wonderland is ending, especially with how good this half season has been. It bums me out not to see Michael Zoja on the screen every week. I made a couple of other points on my instant reaction. Have a great day, guys! !
Thank you very much, Hope. And you know what? We're just going to go ahead and roll right into Elizabeth's because we're almost to our hour, and we had determined to make this shorter since it was our second time doing this.
And we're crazy. Guys, this episode was really good. Not as good as last week, but good nonetheless. Alice was so selfish, which we harped upon last night and barely touched tonight in the beginning of the episode. I'm glad Will called her out on it. She was willing to break so many rules for her and Cyrus and expected Will to help her too. And when Will asked for help to save his love, she denied him help. She's such a explicit term here. As much as I really hated present day Alice, I loved flashback Alice. That was the Alice I wanted all the time. Alice was very Bandit Snow-esque in the flashback.
Oh, very much so. Even to how the guards viewed her and everything.
Yeah, with how that she had such a bad rep and she really was like nothing.
Yeah.
So redeem Jabberwocky? ? Don't know how I feel about that exactly. Why can't a good villain on this show be evil for the sake of being evil? Also, as the show is ending, I realize that, in my opinion, when the promo material for the show said to expect an epic love story, I think the epic love story turned out to be Will and Anastasia. Thoughts? Absolutely. Such a better love story.
Yes.
So out of 236 horrible CGI lightning storms, I give the episode 225, docking some points for the really, really bad CGI this episode and Little Miss Selfish Alice. Elizabeth. P.S. Thanks for using my suggestion last week.
Yeah, they definitely did really bad on the CGI for Jafar's eyebrows. They just looked like so out there, you know, and fakey. Okay, but we're going to go ahead and roll in. We have had a couple comments on the Facebook. I went ahead and reduced it a little bit so we could cut this short since this is the second time through. We'll end with a message from Victoria. And Victoria said the episode was okay. Last week was a lot better. So obviously Jabberwocky is Will's sister Penelope, right? I wonder how she was made into what she is today. I could see that definitely, especially since it was said that Penelope – it never said explicitly that Penelope died. But you'd almost think he would recognize her, kind of acknowledge her in that scene.
I totally didn't get that either.
I still don't see it.
I did wonder why they brought up Penelope.
It would make the Penelope mention makes a little more sense, though, if that was
right.
The case.
Yeah.
But I loved when Will pointed out that Alice was acting like her and Cyrus were the only people whose love was worth fighting for. And thank you very much, Victoria. So, yeah, I guess so we've been talking about this episode for what, 2 hours now? Something.
For 48 hours, we've been talking Wonderland.
And we shall never mention this again.
I hope not.
Okay, now, Dawn, where can people find you online?
I'm Donna War on Twitter, Instagram, wherever you got. I'm there. I'm Donna War, or donslife.com, where you can see pictures of my cats.
Oh, yes. Cats are very important, especially pictures of
them. I love cats.
Cats are actually the fuel that powers the internet.
I think so.
Little known fact.
I'm doing my part by uploading cats to the internet so we can all have internet.
Well, thank you very much, Don. You're a hero.
You're welcome.
You're an internet hero. Amory, where can people find you online?
You can find me on Twitter at AMDSimone and with my happy little growing blog, crunchy, crafty, and highly caffeinated.wordpress.com.
And as for me, you can find me on Twitter at Bill Meeks. You can find me on Google Plus, google.com/plusBillMeeks. And you can find the superhero books that I write at dogboyadventures.com.
Dogboy Adventures.
Dogboy Adventures. And, you know, people, I always say it. I never mean it. This time, I mean it. After next week's episode, run to your computers. Hit us up at greetingsfromstorybrooke@gmail.com. Let us know what you thought. And also hit us up there to let us know when you would like to hang out with us online.
You walk your cat on a leash?
I walk my cat on a leash.
Yes, I'm on her website. Leave me alone.
the cat will stand for that. Any cat I've ever known.
No, the cat's standing. Very... The cat is literally standing.
He likes it. He doesn't get to go out unless he's on a leash. He gets very excited when I put the little jacket on him.
I was just about to say, I love the jacket.
Okay, guys.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. So, you know, this is going to be the, you know, next week's the series finale. Freak out. We're going to find out if this show was worth it or not. But I guess, you know, and we should definitely, since we're so close to the end, we should try and get this right, Amory. So, you know, know what we're going to say? We do this every week. Let's get it right this time, okay?
Okay.
Until next time, greetings from Storyland. Amory, you're never hosting the show again. Ever.